day we spoke about the heart is the heart of the matter. The next day we spoke about malfunctioning hearts, and we had a look at how these hearts malfunctioned. And today we're going to talk about careless hearts. Even at a place like this, our hearts can be careless. I'm just going to read a few verses that deal with the heart. Jeremiah 13 verse 10. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, Jeremiah was saying, good for nothing. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Let therefore thy words be few. Proverbs 19 verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Jeremiah 18:12, and they said, there is no hope. We will walk after our own devices, and will everyone do the devices of his evil heart. Psalm 10:1, he saith in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will not see it. Deuteronomy 11:16, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Psalm 78 verse 8, the last one, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Well, we have to look at our hearts and see how do our hearts react to God's voice and God's call. Today we're talking about careless and contemptuous hearts who disregard the wonderful dealings of God. When God reaches out to you, meeting after meeting, through circumstances at home, through people, through the Bible, he's speaking, he's calling you, but you disregard his voice. You throw away the chances you get in life and you drift on to eternity, lost, careless, and heedless. Now we're going to look at a few examples in the Bible. And the first one we're going to look at is Saul. Now Saul in the Bible was the making of a success story. I mean, Saul was just amazing. But at the end of his life, Saul turns around and he looks at his life and he says, I have played the fool. I have played the fool. Now let's look at Saul. When he started off, he was this amazing, tall, young man. He was taller. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 9, he was taller than any other people. He just stuck out head and shoulders above them. And it says he was there, not among the children of Israel was there a goodlier person than he. He was a choice young man. So here we find a young man. He's good looking, he's tall, and the people love him, and they decide to make him king. God actually allows him to become king. And he starts off so nicely. As I said, he's like a success story in the making. He starts off, he hides away, he's humble, and along that route that he goes, he even prophesies with the prophets of God. And they said, oh, Saul is among the prophets, so he's in the right place, in the right company. Everything about him just looks so good. He becomes the king, and he starts off quite nicely. He defeats the enemies of God. He hates the people that God hates. And we think, well, this is going to be an amazing testimony of a man. But then things begin to happen, and one realizes that Saul's heart was not wholly given over to God. It wasn't in God's hand, because a pattern of disobedience to God's voice is seen in Saul's life. He rejects God, and he rejects God's laws, and he disregards God's will. Now, we all know all the instances. I mean, Saul had to wait for Samuel to do the offering. He was not a priest. He wasn't allowed to do that. He knew he wasn't allowed to do it, and what does he do? He disobeys God, and he goes and offers. Now, the interesting thing about Saul is he always had an excuse for the wrong things he did. And you know, when we don't want to listen to God, when we want to block our ears to God's voice, then we'll always find an excuse for the way we disobey God and for our not listening. Because he blames the people. And we see him hardening his heart. And Samuel turns to him and says, Saul, you have played the fool. He says, you have played the fool. You've lost the kingdom. Now, if we look in the Old Testament, we'll find there are other kings that were even worse than Saul. But they repented. We think of Manasseh. He was evil. But when he was confronted by God, when he lost the kingdom, what did he do? He repented and he sought God. God is always there to reach out if we turn around and seek him. If our hearts stop being careless and they start really opening up to God. Well, we see Saul go on. He's disobedient. He doesn't destroy the enemies anymore. He even gets so bad that he kills the priests of God. He murders them. This is how bad he becomes. And you know what the scary thing is? If we become careless with God trying to reach us, trying to take our heart, say, give me your heart, and we don't want to listen, then we become harder and harder and harder. And we will be surprised what we will eventually be capable of doing. We know we're listening to the wrong music. We know we're watching the wrong things on the internet, the phone, the iPad. We're reading magazines and books that are not acceptable to God because our heart has never been fully given to God. And we excuse our actions. Everybody does it. I mean, later on, I'll turn to God. And we're going forward carelessly on our way to hell. It's sad. I mean, if you think of Saul, he went to the witch. He went into witchcraft in his rebellion against God. I've met weeping parents that tell me their children, they try to reach them. They spoke to them. They warned them. But they are so far from God that you cannot believe what they... I mean, many children are in prison. They ignored God's call. It's a fearful thing. I know of a family where they had two children. That girl from a Christian home is a street girl today because she willfully would not listen to God. Well, we see Saul eventually, he killed the priest, he's evil. And at the end of his days, he turns around and he looks at his life and he says, I have played the fool. I have played the fool. It's dangerous to play the fool with God. It's dangerous to ignore his voice, to disregard his warnings. You're en route to eternity, and a careless heart will become a hardened heart. We must beware. We must repent while there is still time. While we are repentable, do not say, I have played the fool when you get to the end of your days. When you are young, God wants your heart so that he can govern your life. I've played the fool. Saul's very words, how sad he did not heed God's call that he would seek him and for forgiveness plead. I've played the fool. I've disobeyed what God told me to do. It's useless to blame others. His will, I really knew. I played the fool. I turned my back on God and went astray. I killed God's prophets. To a witch I even went one day. I played the fool. Oh, woe is me. Too far upon this road. Hardened my heart as I plod on to reap what I have sowed. To play the fool is easy for any person here. You disregard God's warnings and from God's precepts veer. Your small resistance, at first it's just small, your small resistance strengthens, thus hardened steadily, until one day before God, a fool you'll prove to be. For there upon the threshold of God's eternity, you cannot ever backtrack. You choose your destiny. You know, it's even in meetings like these, where you sit one meeting after another. We've already had two meetings today where God really spoke to our hearts. And as you sit in the meeting, in your heart you're saying, yes, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to allow God to have his way. Or you just say, I'm just going to push it aside. I'm just going to forget about what's being said. And you don't grasp it with both hands. Now, before we look at another careless heart, let's look at somebody who was not careless, who was earnest. And I'm thinking of Bartimaeus. Do you remember Bartimaeus sitting at the side of the road? A disheveled figure, he's in rags, and he's sitting. And as he's sitting next to the side of the road, he suddenly hears, there's a lot of feet tramping. You know, when you're handicapped in some way, your other senses are very alert. And he says, well, what's happening? What's coming along? And they say, there's a lot of people. I can feel the ground. And then they say to him, Bartimaeus, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he's coming with a group of people. Jesus? Can it be that he's coming past here? This is my chance. And Bartimaeus, what does he do? Does he just say, oh, well, let him pass by. It'll be, you know, interesting to know. I sat in the vicinity where he passed by. What does Bartimaeus do? He starts screaming. He starts shouting. He says, Jesus, have mercy on me. So what did the front of the crowd do? They say, why is this man screaming? Let him stop. They said, stop it. You're shouting too loud. Don't shout. Who or tells him to stop? Even the disciples of the Lord Jesus, those respectable people, those followers of the Lord Jesus, don't be so earnest. Isn't that what we sometimes say to ourselves? Don't be overboard. Man, just sit in the meetings. Let them enjoy them. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the camp. Everything that's held out on a platter for you. Don't you go aside and seek God and make right with God. Well, what did Bartimaeus do? Nothing would stop him. Nobody would stop him. And he screamed. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He stopped. He looked at him. And he touched him. And his sight was restored. Blind Bartimaeus became seeing Bartimaeus. But why did that happen to him? Because he didn't let the opportunity pass by. Now, for each of us, there are opportunities. We never know when it's the last opportunity, when God will speak to us. And one day, at the end of time, we'll look back and will we say, I have played the fool, or I grabbed the opportunity with both of my hands. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. In Mrs. Konjerski's home, I happened to pull out one of the books and I read it, and it's the true story of a young Jewish boy. He was only 16 years old, about 16 or even a little bit younger, and he was searching for the answer. He loved the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, but he said, there's something, I need to find God, I need to be sure what's going to happen at the end of life. And you know what, he went across Europe seeking the answer. He was robbed, he was without food, he was hungry, he slept in ditches, he got cold, but he wouldn't stop until he found the answer. He actually ended up in England, and that's where he found God. But you see, he sought God until he found him. How earnest are you about seeking God? Is your heart just a careless heart, or is it an earnest heart? Our Bartimaeus did not stop when told he must be quiet. His chance had come to speak to Christ right there at the roadside. In desperation, he called out. His chance must not be lost. The master must take notice and stop at any cost. How wonderful the Lord heard his cry of deep despair. How wonderful he touched him and healed his sight right there. How precious Bartimaeus did not let his chance pass, for he knew that when given, it might too be the last. We never know when our last chance comes. There was another person in the Bible who had an opportunity to hear about God, to seek God, to find God, but he just wasn't interested. In Acts 18:12, it says, and when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection and with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked and wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and of your law, look you to it, for I will be no judge in such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. And it says these terrible words, Galileo cared for none of these things. He cared for none of these things. You know, it's possible to even be at a Christian camp And you hear and you enjoy things, but in your heart you don't really care for any of those things. You're actually here to play the fool and not to seek God. What a terrible statement. You could have heard about the Lord Jesus through Paul. He wasn't ignorant of what was going on in Galilee at that time, but he just was not interested. You know, in the book, I recently read a book about Whitfield, and it says that we all know Mr. Benjamin Franklin. He was a wonderful man, he was a scientist, very clever. He helped write the Constitution. He was an amazing man, but interestingly enough, he was quite a close friend with Whitfield, but he was a business friend, but not a religious friend. And one day, Whitfield got hold of him, and he was on his way to Philadelphia via Boston, and he got hold of Dr. Franklin, and he said to him, the people I stay with in Boston aren't there, and I was looking for somewhere to stay, and Franklin said, come and stay at my house, you're most welcome. So then Whitfield said to him, well, the Lord Jesus said, just a little cup of water will go rewarded if we do it in Christ's name. And then Benjamin Franklin said, just wait a minute. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for Whitfield. I am not doing it for Christ. To think that Franklin came so close to a man of God, but he was also careless. He was just not interested. Now, if you really have to examine your hearts before a holy God, are you interested? Are you earnest? Or are you careless about the things of God? Galileo was so careless about God and his way that he did not show interest to hear what Paul did say. When Paul stood in the hall there with those who accused him, he only sighed with boredom, scornfully said, "Be still." In Whitfield's time, some great men were too proud to seek God, though right across their pathway God's messenger had trod. One day, with God confronted, they'll wish they'd taken care to seek God and to find him while there was time to spare. You know, one day in eternity when we stand before God, I believe our mind will go back over all the chances that we had to seek God. And oh, the terrible regret, the irreparable regret, when we look back and we knew we carelessly threw the chances away. Now we get to Agrippa. Now Agrippa wasn't as careless as Galileo. He said almost in Acts 6, 26, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. That's why we sang this song, almost persuaded. Isn't it a terrible thing? Almost persuaded. How those words will haunt him in eternity when he's in hell, in the midst of hell, and he must realize, almost, I almost grasped it with both hands, but I let it slip through my fingers. You know, there's a saying, you can lead a horse to the water, to water trough, but you can't make him drink the water. I would say Agrippa was right at the water, but he just wasn't willing to drink it. You know, we can outwardly seem to be compliant with everything that is said from meeting to meeting. We nod our head. We enthusiastically sing. But in our heart of hearts, we're really careless about the things of God. We laugh it away. We joke it away. Even in our rooms, we laugh about other things. We're not earnest. There were two twin boys, and they were having a fight, and the father said to them, apologize, shake hands. So they were standing over the table, and they shook hands. But as they shook hands, they were kicking each other under the table. Now, in the same way, we can pretend. We're listening, and we heart and heart with everything, but actually we're kicking every word that people say under the table. We don't really agree. We seem to, but our hearts are careless. And God knows our hearts are careless. There was a mail carrier years ago that used to travel up the river in a canoe to deliver mail. It was in the olden days. And the only way to get to the high-lying areas was via this river that had rapids. Now, a Salvation Army man in those days asked the mail carrier, it's quite a route that you go. It's quite a dangerous. I know this river's got rapids. Can you swim? He laughed and he said, no, I don't need to swim. He said, I have gone this route for years. He said, I know the route. I'm expert at handling the canoe and rowing and whatever. There's no danger for me. I don't need to learn how to swim. So the Salvation Army man said, but what if the boat capsizes? What will you do? He says, it will never capsize. Well, a few weeks later, that same Salvation Army man read an article in the newspaper, tragic death of the young mail carrier. The boat capsized when nobody was near, and the man could not swim. And what happened to him? He drowned. He was warned, but he was careless. He was an expert rower. But what is rowing help when you need to swim to survive? And so of us, what does it help to appear so religious and so good and all the other things, the talents, the wonderful things we can do? We can play the guitar, we can sing, we can do all sorts of things. But when you stand before God, all God's going to look at is a heart. And if our heart has been careless with the word of God that's come to each one of our hearts, how sad it will be when we stand before God and have to say, I played the fool. I played the fool. Is that true of you? If your boat capsizes, where will you be? How sad the poor news carrier did not prepare at all. Complacently, with disregard, is a danger to forestall. Your boat can flounder in the stream. Your canoe can capsize. What will you do when you fall out? No one to hear your cries? I've traveled this long river for years, smoothly, with ease. My canoe is a sturdy one. Don't bother me, sir, please. I'm very good at rowing. Why should I learn to swim? I always stay within the boat. No fear, I will fall in. How sad that he was careless of his approaching fate. How sad when his boat capsized, to learn then was too late. We too are on a journey upon the river life. We too may drift on smoothly, skirting all danger strife. But one day in a moment, the boat upturned may be. How sad if you had ignored God's warnings constantly. We dare not be careless about the judgment of God, which hangs over our defiance of God. Have we perhaps not ever stopped in our tracks and thought about it and said, how does my heart stand before a holy God? We're hanging on that thin thread of grace that we spoke about. It's God's long-suffering and his patience. And we seem so exemplary, but God sees the secret thoughts, the books, the internet, all these things, and he knows we're heading to disaster. And he says, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And only you know, and God knows, if you truly have given your heart. If your heart is wholly, without condition, in his hands. It's a dangerous thing to play this fool with God. You don't know how your heart can be hardened. There was a man, he was so hardened against God that he was in a storm, and there was the thunder and the lightning and the rumbling. I don't know if your storms also rumble, but ours sounds like barrels, you know. And this man mocked and he says, oh, that's God moving the barrels around in heaven or whatever. And as he said it, the lightning struck him dead. God is not mocked. We cannot play the fool with God. It's a dangerous thing to have a careless heart. Ann Keyes was the district attorney in Los Angeles County. And he had sent many, many prisoners to San Quentin Prison. He was the judge who judged others. But one day a very unusual thing happened. He stood in the dock because he had misused judgment, funds. And he was judged and had to go to prison. You know, sometimes we can stand judging others. You know, this one isn't doing this right, this one isn't doing that right. But we don't realize that our hearts have to be accountable to God. If God looks in our heart, what does he see? There were two brothers at a church at, in Bible school, in Knight's Illustrations tells us, and they were both coming down the steps of the Bible study of the church. And the one brother turned to the other brother and he said to him, "I'm finished with this religion story." He said, "I'm not interested. It's just so boring. I'm not going to go on with it." The other brother says, "No, I want to carry on. I want to seek God. I want to follow him." So he says, "I'm finished." Now, years later, it was the Pan-African Exposition, and there was a great gathering to honor President McKinley. And a young man, after the whole exposition, everybody came in a long line to greet the president. And coming towards the president to greet him was a young man, and over his hand he had a handkerchief resting over his hand. But under that handkerchief there was a gun. And instead of greeting him, he pulled the trigger, and the president collapsed, mortally wounded. That young man's name was Leon Kozolskos, some funny name. But anyway, it was one of those young men that had said, "I'm not interested anymore. I've had enough of religion. I'm not going to seek God anymore." Just one decision, a careless throwing away of God's voice to his own heart, and look where he landed. That was the end of his defiance. When Livingstone's body was carried in London and the crowds thronged the streets, an old man tried to push forward and he said, "I knew him as a boy." He said, "We both had the same opportunities. We both had the same choices. But he made the wise choice and he obeyed God's call. I placed my emphasis on the wrong things. I had the same chances, but I carelessly flung them away. Look at me." And he was just an absolute derelict man. They were both in the same kind of gatherings, but the one grasped it and the other carelessly flung it away. So many times you listen to people from God's word, so many times your heart was with deep conviction stirred. But carelessly you pushed all the thoughts of God away. "Almost I turned to God," are the words you lightly say. How sad, O careless sinner, when you must give account of all the times conviction was stifled and blown out. How dangerous if careless you tread upon life's way. Chances slipping as you near judgment day. It's a terrible thing. We can think of Herod. I think that's the last example we're going to look at is Herod. Herod spoke to John many times. His heart was stirred because he chose to speak to John many times, but he didn't respond. When John told him where he was going wrong, he wasn't willing to bend the knee to accept God's voice. And what ends up under peer pressure, what does John do? What does Herod do? He has John's head beheaded. And there comes a plate with John's head. The very eyes that condemned him, the very mouth that warned him. That is how hardened a person can be who carelessly throws aside God's word. How dreadful for Herod on Judgment Day to know he had the chances, but he threw those chances away. Do we realize the privilege it is for us as young people to be in a Christian gathering like this, to hear God's voice? There's so many that never hear God's voice. We've got missionaries that are going to Brazil, down in the Amazon, where there are people who have never heard the gospel. They're going to go in a dangerous area because they know that those people are desperate for the light. We get the light, but do we carelessly just cast it aside? We daren't play the fool with God. You know, sometimes we get into a tight spot and we promise God, "Well, if my brother doesn't die, or if my sister just survives this, or if we don't have a crash, if the car's going and it's swerving, Lord, I'll follow you." But the moment the danger is past, we forget. There was a blatant blasphemer, and he used to blaspheme in front of people against God. But one day he was in a little boat, and the boat was on a river with rapids, and he realized he couldn't stop the boat from going over the rapids, and he cried out, "Oh God, save me, and I will serve you." A young missionary heard him cry. He was an athletic young missionary, and at the risk of his life, he jumped in and he saved that man. It was difficult to save him, but he did. But days later, he passed and he thought, who's this crowd of people standing around there? And he said, oh, but that's the man I jumped into the river to save. And what do you think that man was doing? He was blaspheming. You know, we can hear God's voice, and sometimes in a tight corner we can promise God things, but the moment everything is just going smoothly again, we forget about God. I think it's because we didn't give him our heart. God wants our heart. He wants everything about us. Whitfield was preaching in Mr. Grimshaw's church, and he spoke about the philosophy and the modern teachings that turn people away from God and how dangerous it is. And then Whitfield said, now in a church like this, in this church of Mr. Grimshaw, he said, you have been so well taught about the gospel. He is so sound in doctrine that you are a light to the community around. You as a congregation are really an amazing testimony. And you know, Mr. Grimshaw was in the congregation and he respected Mr. Whitfield. But he did something that Whitfield didn't expect. He said, no, Mr. Whitfield, do not say that. He said, oh, sir, do not speak so. He said, in my church, there are so many people who will go to hell with open eyes. Going to hell with open eyes. They've been warned. They know. But they still continue on their course. They see the congregation never forgot those words. A Scottish minister went to a woman and she was dying, and he says, where do you want to go when you die? She said, I don't care. Yeah, that's how hardened you can get when you're careless in your youth. She said, I don't care. He said, well, do you mean you'll go to hell? She said, I don't care. Hell is, I know more people in hell. And he said, when he held the funeral service, he said, the horror that as they were holding the funeral service, they knew where that woman was who had carelessly been disinterested in God. In Portsmouth, in England, the meetings that Whitfield spoken of were so full of people in the hall that he had to get in through the window. It was the only way he could get into the meeting place was to get in through the window. And there was a young man who attended the meetings called Benjamin Randall. And day after day he went and listened to Whitfield preach. But he was exasperated. He was tormented. He was angry with the preaching. And he did not respond to God's call. But after Whitfield had gone on, it was near the end of Whitfield's life, he decided a week later to go to the same church where Whitfield had preached with his minister. There was another preacher there, just to feel the atmosphere again. And as he was there in the service in the noon, a town crier came and cried out, Whitfield is dead. Whitfield is dead. He died at Newburyport at 6 p.m. And suddenly this young man realized, Whitfield is in heaven and I am on my way to hell. He was a man of God, and I refuse to listen to the warnings of God through him. One day I will stand at the judgment throne, and Whitfield will be able to testify against me, because I heard, but I did not respond. I did not answer God's call. And you know what? We are happy to say that that young man sought God and did get saved. Are you perhaps careless with the opportunities that have been given to you, some of you for the third time at a camp like this, and you let the opportunities just slip by? You're contemptuous of the warnings of God. Or are you like a Bartimaeus that grabs the opportunity, and when God says, give me your heart, which is the theme for this convention, this little gathering, give me your heart. Have you given your heart to God? Or will you say like Saul at the end of your, when God cuts the thread of your life, whether you're young or old, will you look back and you'll say, I played the fool. I let the chances slip through my fingers and fall to the ground, and I can never have those chances again. How sad if we had chances that came day after day, careless we let them slip by upon life's winding way. Life seemed to be unending. Not now. Our constant cry, let me go on regardless. I'll seek God by and by. God's tenderness and patience, the fragile thread of grace, will snap one day and I'll stand before him face to face. Oh, why was I so careless, contemptuous to God's call? Oh, woe is me, my outcry, as into hell I fall. Don't let us play the fool with God. Amen.